First reading is Psalm 122 at 622. I rejoice with those who say to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stands the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will pray. Peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. So there we have Revelation 7, verses 9 to 12, page 1238. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as I said, it is great to be here. Thanks for the chance to come and share. And it's particularly special to be in Henley. I was mentioning it to Sam earlier. After uni, I taught for a bit at Shiplake College. And so this part of the world sort of feels like a home away from home. Absolutely loved living there, loved coming into Henley. And it's always nice to have the chance to come. But thinking about homes, I wonder when the last time was when you felt homesick. I wonder if that's a sensation that you know or is familiar to you recently. I don't know, maybe it was a holiday that you went on where the first few days are brilliant, things are new, things are different, and then you begin to feel the friction of being somewhere else. I don't know, maybe you miss the Marmite or you miss the routine or whatever it is. It might be that actually right now you feel homesick, that you're not from the UK, you come from somewhere that's not quite so dark, not quite so rainy, and not quite so cold, and actually that's your daily experience. I had a kind of like encounter, as it were, with homesickness at the start of September, not for me, but seeing it in other people. We had some Chilean friends of ours, some folk that we got to know in Chile, who've since then moved to Essex. And they've made their little part of Essex, a little corner of Chile there in Essex. And every September is Chilean Independence Week, where they had this massive celebrations. And so they invited us to come and share in their little celebration of Fiestas Patrias, like the Independence Day celebrations there. And it was lovely. Like, we played silly Chilean games, kind of traditional Chilean games. We were wearing our Chilean football shirts. Eating, of course, like much smaller portions of steak, because meat is so expensive here, but still nonetheless. But the thing that really got me with them was not so much like the games or even the food. It was when they like got up and started to sing. Someone pulled out a guitar, and that's a very like Latino thing, Chilean thing. Someone gets a guitar and starts singing. And they have these songs that like everybody knows. their traditional songs. And you think to yourself, like, what do we have as English people? Like, we have Sweet Caroline at best or something like that. And they were singing that. And the thing that got me was there they were, homesick, singing songs of home. They were longing for home. They loved their home. But here's the thing. They wanted to share that with us as well. We're Brits, we're gringos, we're English people. And they love their home and they wanted to give us a feel for that. And they wanted to share something of that longing, something of that love, there in Essex, with us. And as I was having a look at our reading, Psalm 122, if you've closed your Bibles, it's there on page 622, just on the bottom right-hand side. I think this psalm is a bit like my Chilean friends strumming on their guitars at Independence Day. This is a song about home. This is a song that sings of homesickness. And today, as we particularly think about God's work, mission, God's mission here in Henley, but also further afield and around the world, I think there's lots of different images and ideas that might come to mind when we think about God's mission in the world. But I wonder if just for this afternoon, when we think of mission, I wonder if we could think of my friends playing their guitar, longing and loving their home, and seeking to share that with others. Because this psalm here sings of a kind of homesickness. It sings of a love for a home, but a love that it wants to share with others. And I think that homesickness is actually at the heart of mission. It's not the kind of homesickness that comes when you leave something behind. Instead, it's a sort of homesickness of looking ahead. It's a homesickness for not for what I've left behind, but for what I look ahead to, what I'm looking forward to, the home where I truly belong. Mission begins as we set our eyes and we look and we love that heavenly home. And that's what this song seeks to lead us into. This psalm shows us our true home, shows us our heavenly, our eternal home. And it sings of that home. It sings of it, and it encourages us in three ways. It encourages us to look ahead to that heavenly home, to love our global family, and to share the heart of our Savior. There's a sort of three facets that we hear from this song. And we hear the first of those in the first couple of verses. The psalm begins by lifting our eyes to our heavenly home. The psalm begins, Psalm verses 1 and 2, lifting our eyes to that heavenly home, saying these words, say, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. This song sings of a home in the presence of God. We kind of feel the excitement of verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go. Verse 2, they look around, they can't quite believe it. It's amazing. Verse 2, our feet have stood there. This is where we've come. Here is where we are, and it's brilliant. And we find the reason for that rejoicing, the reason for that excitement in the center of these verses. Just there at the end of verse 1, the reason why there's such joy, the reason why it's so much excitement is because this is the house of the Lord. This is where God dwells. This is a place in the presence of God. This is the Lord's house, and he has invited us to make our home with him. This is what it's all about, being with him. It's a bit like a couple of weeks ago, I went with my two kids to go see the American football, the NFL, at Wembley. So we live in North London, so it's a good excuse to head down and watch that. Lots of excitement and being kind of without too many stereotypes, but nonetheless, being a big American thing, it was all about the show. There's so much going on around outside Wembley beforehand, lots of events and games and activities. And you go into the stadium, there's lots of stuff going on. But here's the thing, as you're there in the stadium with all that's going on, with all the music and all the dancing, there's a countdown clock ticking down until the moment when those players rush onto the field. And then suddenly the energy is there. Suddenly the excitement is there because they are the ones who it's all about. You are there for them. That's what makes this place special. And it's a bit of a silly example, but that is something of what we feel in these verses. As they say, I rejoiced, what a great idea it was. Our feet have stood there, not just because of the place, but because of the person who makes this place special. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's home. And he has shared that home with us. Now, David, who first sang this psalm, who wrote this psalm, like it says under Psalm 122 there, under the title, he is the king who first brought the people of Israel to Jerusalem. And as David brings the ark into Jerusalem, this expression of God's dwelling into this city, David like erupts in joy. The story, if you read it in the Old Testament, describes him, you know, the way football fans get overexcited and tear off their shirts. That is what David does as God's presence comes into the city. That is what makes this place special. And he rejoices and he celebrates and he sings for joy. God has made this place his home. And David's like, where else would you want to be? But here's the thing. God showed David years later that this place, Jerusalem, that the tabernacle and later the temple, that this place only and always, only ever pointed ahead to the true home where the presence of God would be fully, finally, and eternally known. Jerusalem, as David sings of it here, always and only ever pointed to the true home that is proclaimed to us in passages like the one we heard read in Revelation chapter 7. So I wonder if you spotted that in that reading describing our heavenly home. And what makes heaven so heavenly is the presence of God. The very thing that made David so excited is what is fully, finally, eternally enjoyed. It is in Revelation 7, verse 6. This is the place where God is. Describes the throne where the Lamb sits. Verse 10, the voice, the myriad multitude of voices celebrating God who is there. The place where God sits on his throne. The place where the Lamb reigns. This is the eternal and glorious home where God's presence is fully and finally made known. You see, as we listen to David sing this psalm, as we seek to join in that psalm, these verses seek to make us long for that heavenly home. And as we live our lives looking forward to that heavenly home, well, then we will join with him and say with him, like he does in verse 1, I rejoiced with those who said, let's go. And if that's where we're heading, we will be free to leave behind all sorts of things on our way there, knowing that it's worth it. Like I said, I went to the NFL with my two kids. One of them, my son, the week before the match, before we had these tickets to go see the NFL, he broke his leg. And he had his leg in this whole kind of leg cast. It makes mobility, it makes everything really hard work. But here's the thing, he was really keen to keep, to make sure he got to go see the NFL. And so he was willing to go through all kinds of discomfort. The discomfort getting into the car, going on the journey, the discomfort for going up the five kind of levels of Wembley to sit at the top and see there, the discomfort of sitting there. But you could look at that and go, wow, look at him, you know, being willing to go there, being willing to go through the discomfort. But he's there going like, well, where else would I want to be? It's totally worth it. And it is brilliant. But again, it's a little bit of a silly example, but that is something of what these verses call us to. They say, look at your home. Where else would you want to be, says David? Here in the presence of God. And I think that is what, as a church, as individuals, can really move us and motivate us to mission. Because we are really willing to leave all kinds of things behind when we know we have a wonderful home ahead. As Christians, we will be freed to move to new places, to do new things, to connect with new people, when our home is never something that we leave behind, but always something that lies ahead. You see, I'm going to be free, and I'm going to be willing to leave my comfort zone if my true comfort and my eternal home is truly found in Jesus. So whether it's here in our community or further away across the world, I'm going to be moved to mission when my life is moved by that future and heavenly eternal home. And to continue to help us set our eyes on that home, the verse of the psalm moves on and says, not just look to that heavenly home in verses 1 and 2, but having lifted our eyes to look to that heavenly home, the psalm then encourages us to look around and to love our global family. We see the kind of this little glimpse of the heavenly home in verses 1 and 2, but then as we move to 3, so 5, we're sort of invited to share in this love for our global family. Verses 3 to 5, they begin by talking about the place. Verse 3, Jerusalem is like the city built closely compacted together. But this place described in verse 3 is known for its people in verse 4. Yeah, what is it that makes this place special? It's, look, verse 4, this is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. This is a people who are called by God's word for God's praise in this place. So this is a place that's known for its people, and that people are known for its for their king, verse 5. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. This is a place known for its people. It's a bit like a previous time I'd gone to Wembley, and we'd gone on the stadium tour. And it was brilliant, but it was empty. And it was great to go there on the tour, but it was even better to go there when it was filled with people. This place, this home, is a place known for its people, this people gathered by the king. Jerusalem and its temple was to be a place where, by God's word and for God's praise, God had gathered a people around his king. Well, that Jerusalem and that temple always and only ever pointed ahead to the glorious future proclaimed in Revelation chapter 7. Because there we see the new and true Jerusalem gathered by Jesus, the King, where a people of all tribes and tongues and nations are gathered by Jesus for the praise of Jesus. This place is known for its people, and that people are united by their King. Listen again to how Revelation 7 describes our home. Revelation 7, verse 9, there I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is a place known for its people, and a people who are gathered together by the King. See, there's this wonderful back and forth in these verses, in Psalm 122, here in Revelation 7. Because as we look at this great crowd, we begin to see the glory of their king. And as we see the glory of the king, we are able to recognize the greatness of his people. You see, mission gives us a glimpse of the greatness of Jesus. As we see this multitude of people, as we recognize our global family, we can begin to see more of the glory and greatness of our King. And seeing more of the greatness and glory of our King will move us out to make him known wherever we are and around the world. So for me, one of the most kind of impactful memories I had of my time in Chile was a particular kind of service that I went to that was a gathering of people in Chile, but of people from Chile, but also Brazil and from the US and other places. And some of the songs that we sang in a mixture of English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And it was extraordinary singing the same gospel truths about the same Lord Jesus. And one moment you're in Spanish, the next moment you're in English, the next moment you're in Portuguese. And as you sing that, as you see the global family around you, you glimpse the glory of the King. And as you know more of the glory of the King, you're moved more to the global reach of his kingdom, this wonderful to and fro. And so it's really lovely as we think as a church together about missions. Mission isn't just the mark of a healthy church. Mission actually motivates the healthiness of the church. A church that loves the Lord Jesus will long to make him known. And as that church makes him known, well, that will fuel their love for the Lord Jesus. This psalm shows us our heavenly home, and it gives us a glimpse of that global family, that family gathered to their King. But the psalm ends as we look ahead to that home, as we seek to recognize the global family that we're part of. The psalm calls us to share in our Savior's heart. The psalm ends with a prayer. If you've gone back to Revelation, come back with me to Psalm 122 and notice the way Psalm 122 ends. There is a prayer there for the peace and security of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 8 and 9, pray for the good of the people. They pray for the glory of the King. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. The psalm prays that this might be a place where God's people know his peace. And as this psalm comes to an end, as we are invited to pray, and as we hear the psalm's prayer, well, as the psalm comes to an end, it's important to look and remember the way it began. It began with that reminder that this is a song of David. It is a psalm of David. It is a psalm of the King, which means these last few verses, they are a prayer of the King, that the King is committed to his people. The King is committed to gathering, to keeping his people. The King says, I will say, peace be within you. The King says, for the sake of your good and God's glory, I will seek your prosperity. You see, this is a song that David sang, and he called the people to join in. But it points forward to a prayer that Jesus prayed, a prayer that Jesus calls us to join in with. You see, as Jesus prayed for his people, for his church, in his ministry here on earth, well, so too Jesus continues to pray for his people. He continues to pray for his church in his ministry now in heaven. It is the prayer of Jesus that his own would come to him. It is the prayer of Jesus that his own would be one in him. Jesus now is praying for his people, and Jesus now invites us to join in with him. See, mission begins with sharing this heart of our Savior. Mission begins by joining in with the song of the King. We hear Jesus' heart in verses 6 to 8, of him saying, "Pray for my people," verse 6 and 7, because verse 8, "I am praying for my people." Jesus calls us to share in his love for his people. Jesus calls us to share in that prayer for our people, to join our voice to his, that his own would come to him, that his own would be one in him, that his people would know that peace that is found only in him. And so the heart of a missional church is a heart of prayer. It is a heart that is attuned to the song that we hear in Psalm 122. Joining in with the prayer of the missional God who is at work to bring a bill and build a people for himself. And so as we think about mission today and in the weeks ahead, can I invite you, can I encourage you to maybe picture those Chilean friends away from home, but singing of home, loving their home, and calling others to know that and share in that as well. Psalm 122 is a psalm that is there to make us long for our home, to long for our heavenly home. And as we long for our heavenly home, to then love our global family. And we're going to long for that home, and we're going to love that family when we share the prayerful heart of our Savior. So let's pray that our lives now and in the weeks and years ahead might evermore be in tune with this song, so that with a voice, we might join in with that voice of heaven and join in with that great multitude that are there crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Let me pray that now. Father God, we praise you for that great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Father, help us to long for that day. Help us to look ahead to that home. And as we look ahead to the home that lies before us, would you free us to leave aside whatever might be holding us back as we seek to follow Jesus. Please, would you lead us to look forward to that home so much that we might love our family more deeply, and that we might pray ever more fervently for the people of the Lord Jesus to be gathered and brought to him. Father, help us to share the heart of our Savior and love being called into his mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.